Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm John Rensenhouse, and we got a treat for you today. We've got a world premiere here, a brand new talk and game show called... Oh my God, did you just say that? Yeah, that's the name. Oh my God, did you just say that? Or OMGDYJST for you texting young'uns. Yes, this is the game show where contestants win valuable points by shocking the host and maybe answering a few questions correctly along the way. We're going to have fabulous guests, controversial games, and hopefully one heck of a good time. Now, to start things off, I'd like to introduce our new theme song for this show. We've got a new theme song, people. Straight from the South Pacific, ladies and gentlemen, the vocal stylings of Miss Evelyn Tewksbury.
Happy talking, talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, you gotta have a dream come true. Talk about the moon floating in the sky, looking like a lily on a lake. Talk about a bird learning how to fly, making all the music he can make.
God, did she just sing that? Knock it out of the park. She is beautiful. That is classic. That is gorgeous. That is happy talk. You all may be familiar with Miss Tewksbury from the opening scene of Mary Chase's classic play, Harvey. And we have brought her here to do some special recordings for this new show. And well, you know, the results, as you can hear, are pretty amazing. So we're going to hear the rest of happy talk later in the show. But right now it is time to meet this week's contestants. Okay, we have two of Kansas City's biggest stars with us today. They need very little in the way of introduction because you've seen them all over town on many stages, probably in many back alleys and in many states of dress and undress. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Barnett and Phil Fiorini are here with us today. Kathy Barnett is a hometown original in every sense of the word. Born and bred here, a veteran of the New Theater, the Unicorn, the Rep, Starlight, American Heartland, Kansas City Actors Theater, of course. Countless commercials, more theaters than I probably don't even know about. I mean, theaters around the country, and she is here now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Now, you were born here, right?
I was born, absolutely, in Merriam, Kansas.
Oh, I love Merriam. It's such a classy town. Now, Phil Fiorini is another hometown original. He's an Avila grad, a Bishop Miege kid. He's worked at the Unicorn, the Rep, got his start at the Waldo Astoria, most likely. Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, very classy that. Coterie, Kansas City Actors Theater, of course. Played in that wacky Greater Tuna all over the darn country. He was Pumbaa in Disney's The Lion King for many years, and he is still my good friend, Phil Fiorini. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, John. Thank you so much. You know, you listed all those things, but I think the peak of my career is being right here on this program with you today. And, you know, I'm so excited because I don't play games much. Well, I play head games with people, and I've been known to fight for a throne, but I don't.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that? Okay, so now I want to share with both of you, Kathy and Phil, some ground rules about this game show. It's a game show. And later on, we're going to play a couple of games in which you can score points, very, very valuable points. But we're going to chat a little bit first about your illustrious lives and careers. And along the way, starting now and on through the games, if you happen to make me say, oh my God, did you just say that? You will earn bonus points, big bonus points. I'm going to give you 3 bonus points to add to your total. And because Phil has already made me say it, he already has 3 points. Points, Kathy. He got the
jump on you. Okay, that's not fair. That's just not fair.
Kathy, you know you've got things to throw down from our youth. Use them.
oh, you bet I do.
Yeah,
Okay. Back off now. Let's save that for later. Okay, so that's that. Oh my God, did you just make me say that?
Okay, see, you got points, Kathy. He said it.
Yeah, I think so. I feel that stumble fumble kind of got to you, John, and I think I get those points.
I think you did. Okay, so the score right now is Phil Fiorini, 3 points, Kathy Barnett, 3 points. We're starting out level pegging. Now, Kathy, one of the things that you have done in your illustrious career, many people may not know about. Well, I mean, there are probably a lot of things you've done that people don't know about. But one of the theatrical things you've done is more on the corporate side of things. You have spent many days, weeks, and hours playing Maxine, the Hallmark card character. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Now, and she, for those of you who are, I mean, everyone's familiar with Maxine, I'm sure, but she's that grumpy, crotchety rebel without a bra kind of character. And the rebel without a bra is the thing I want to talk to you about, Kathy. I don't want to know, how you got it.
Right.
I want to know
try some lemons. You know?
Okay. That's exactly what I want to know about the costume for Maxine and what we're using for the breasts, shall we say? Can we call them sagging?
Well, the natural hang down actually has come
I want to talk about the hang down.
Yeah. And just sort of where, you know, what my mother used to call envelopes on the front. You just sort of roll it up, push them in. It's like two envelopes on each side. Yes, Maxine, she would say, you know, I had to quit smoking, but I got this combination estrogen nicotine patch. Go ahead, touch it. Touch it. Keeps me up nights. Only problem is I can't remember what for. Yeah, she's a wild woman, Maxine.
So what would you use? I mean, were there things that would hold these? You use lemons? Is that what I'm to believe?
Lemons have a nice droop.
Ah, would it be one per side or?
Wouldn't you like to know, John?
Well, that's what we're here for, Kathy. Yes, you know, I would like to know.
This is great acting because Kathy Barnett has the most beautiful, perky, you know, they just have not moved for decades. And then for her to have to play these roles, she's asked to, I don't know, droop them.
No, honestly, you just sort, you know what you do? You just kind of wrap them and stoop over and you get the same effect.
Oh my God.
They just kind of go away. And yet, you know, the stooping helps to infer a hanging down, if you will. Okay. Because she wears so much clothing, including a really large robe.
Oh. Mm.
You know, the whole thing about Maxine is she shows up everywhere in slippers and a robe, and she dares you to give her a hard time about it.
So you see what
I'm saying? It's like a lot of clothing, so you don't really notice. Her body needs to just kind of be this stick. Mm, if you look at the animation, there's just no shape to Maxine whatsoever.
I did look at some of the drawings in preparation for this in-depth interview.
And I
realized that maybe in my mind, I was getting Maxine mixed up with that other character, Madam, who has quite a pronounced droopy front.
Yeah.
Yes, those are two different characters there, John.
Yes, yeah. I really messed up on
one's
that.
One's a puppet and one's a drawing.
Okay. Yeah,
but you're Maxine, and now Phil, I want to, since we're on the subject of costumes, you have gotten to wear a couple of interesting costumes, and I'm thinking of two shows in particular. I'm thinking of The Whale, which was done at the Unicorn, in which you had to portray, was he 600 pounds, 400 pounds? I can't remember.
600.
And then also Falstaff out at the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival in The Merry Wives of Windsor. You also had to have some extensive padding for that role as well.
Right.
Tell me about that padding and how nicely it smelled when you would be finished with each performance.
Well, you know, I don't shower much because I smell like daisies. But, you know, they kept them clean pretty good. The Shakespeare one, that started to turn a little bit because we were outside. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, the heat, yes.
Yeah, that got to it. But, you know, Georgiana Landre built the one for The Whale, and it was great. And
what was it made out of?
Fluff. I don't know. Like polyfill.
Was it like rubber latex or padding? Goose down. Was it
padding?
Goose down?
No. Goose. We stopped using goose down before the war, John. No, I don't know. It's a polyfill. You know what I mean? That.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Shakespeare one was a little bit more intricate because it had ice pack pockets I could put ice packs in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Very clever.
I know.
Did your co-stars want to take naps on your belly or anything like that?
I'm trying to think. Probably not, because I think the smell deterred them. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, look, someone's cuddly. And then you go near them going, oh, that's rank.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil.
Thank you, John. That's riveting to talk about that.
Anyway, Phil, okay, yes. So let's get to something riveting that both of you, I want to hear your perspective, Phil, and I also want to hear your perspective, Kathy. I know you two knew each other in high school, and rumor has it that maybe there was some dating, some hanky-panky involved. Phil, what happened? What happened between you and Kathy Barnett?
There was full-on sex and three children.
No, there was not sex. I wanted sex.
I know,
I'm kidding. You didn't want sex.
I know. I went to Bishop Miege, and, you know, she went to Shawnee Mission North. And in my family, you know, we didn't know anyone that wasn't Catholic growing up, you know. So she was on the other side of the tracks.
You know? So you wouldn't have anything to do with her?
No, I would. I wanted to. But my mom was.
No, he didn't.
Oh.
Well, I tried, you know, I thought at the time.
Okay, how did you try, Phil? Give us some.
Well, okay, I fell in love with her because she was playing Adelaide at Shawnee Mission Park. Then a good friend of ours, Molly Brown, said, I know where she works. She works at Flo's. And so Molly and I went there one night and waited for Kathy and picked her up. And I didn't recognize her because you were wearing glasses and you had this bandana on. And I thought, this is not Adelaide. This is not who I wanted. You know, I'm kidding. No, I idolized her on the stage, and then to see her in real you know, as a real person.
Yeah, it's always a disappointment.
It wasn't at all.
So did you ever put the moves on her?
Yeah, I think we tried, right?
Oh, I put the moves on him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little Sadie Hawkins back in the day.
Yeah. I think it was someone like Mata Hari or no, I'm kidding. You know, you had more experience than I did, Kathy.
Yes, that's true. But I was totally in love with Phil, 100%. Same thing. I saw him on stage. I think it was when they used to do theater in Pembroke Park. Is that it, Phil?
Yeah.
And you were doing West Side Story.
Yeah.
And same thing. I came over and saw him perform and fell in love. But you didn't disappoint when I saw you in person. And he took me to a dance at Bishop Miege.
I did,
and
yes.
Instead of buying a corsage for me, he picked the flowers out of his mother's garden and made a corsage for me.
That should have been the first clue. That should have been the first clue. You know, there are little clues along our lives, and we don't buy the vowel, and we don't get that concept.
He always loved the crafting, that young boy.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. I didn't get it until he told me that, you know, he didn't want to, you
well,
know.
Well, no, you know how I got out of the sex part? I told her, I said, you know, if we do this, we're going to have seven kids. Remember that? And she was like, what? I just want to, you know.
But you wanted lots of kids, Phil.
Well, I thought, that's what I
you're
thought
Catholic.
You did.
You were raised
I didn't
Catholic.
Know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was moving a little too fast.
And I really believe at that time, no one talked to me about the birds and the bees or anything. I was still wandering out there going, I think God blesses people and you're Catholic. And if he doesn't bless you, you're somebody else. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah. You said, how many children do you want? How many? And I said, I don't know, two or three. And you went, well, I want eight. I want eight, Kathy, and if you can't see your way to eight children, then I don't think this is going to work out.
And then I got up and left.
You got up and left. Yeah. I was devastated.
I know. My timing's off. It's gotten better.
Okay. Well, speaking of timing.
Talk about the star looking like a toy peeping through the branches of a tree. Talk about the girl. Talk about the boy. Counting all the ripples on the sea.
Oh, that just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
I tell you, COVID has really wrecked that voice of hers.
You know,
sorry, I know her
personally. It's the vibrato. You want to go for that, you know.
She needs a higher key. She's a pure soprano, and she got stuck with an alto's tessitura.
Oh, but her spirit, her interpretation of the song is just.
Her phrasing has always been top notch.
Yeah, well,
good phrasing.
You know, she and Marilyn May, excellent phrasing, both of them. Okay, but now come on, let's get to a game. We're here to play games, and now let's do it. Okay, so your first game, it's a history game. Now, don't panic. It's about the history of Kansas City Theater. It's about one of the greatest leading ladies of the Kansas City stage, the grandest of grandams, the legendary, the one, the only Miss Dodie Brown. Mm-hmm. Ah, bravo, bravo. Dodie has worked for many years at the Dinner Theaters, owned and produced by Dennis Hennessy and Richard Carruthers, Tiffany's Attic, Waldo Astoria, where our beloved Phil got his start, and the New Theater. Now, you two both have extensive histories with these theaters, and so I think you're maybe going to ace this game. And this game is called, are you ready for this? Who did Dodie do? That's right. Who did Dodie do? Not what did Jesus do, but who did Dodie do? You know, Dodie has done many plays, and she's had many, many co-stars at these dinner theaters. And you're going to be asked to alternately name one of Dodie's co-stars throughout the years. We'll start with Kathy, and Kathy, you will name one of her co-stars, and then we'll go to you, Phil, and you will name one, and then we'll go back to Kathy, and she'll name another one, and we'll go back and forth until one of you finally gets stumped and runs out of a Dodie co-star to name. Okay, now you're going to get a point for each co-star you successfully name, and the points can really rack up here because, you know, Dodie had a lot of co-stars through the years.
Does this have to be male, or can it be male and female co-stars?
Oh, Kathy, in 2021, you have to ask that. It can be male or female. It can be binary,
it's
non-binary.
Anyone who was breathing on that stage with her.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, Kathy, who did Dodie do?
Don Knotts, and Don I Knotts. Believe that was in On Golden Pond. Now, they may have done other shows together, but that was her tour de force.
Oh, yes. They were very good friends, I know. And so, who did Dodie do, and where did Dodie do it? She did it in the Golden Pond with Don Knotts. Okay, Phil, your turn.
You know, I'm going to say the same show with Mike Farrell. Oh. How's that?
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. How many times do you think Dodie did that show?
135. No,
I think you're right.
No, they did it a lot, didn't they? And they even took it out of town, didn't they?
Yes.
Kathy?
Oh, that she did with Don Knotts, right?
But I think she toured with Mike as well.
Oh, what a hit. What a gal.
She's had some career, you know.
Oh, well, you know, and she has been so generous to the community, giving back. She, with the New Theater Guild Scholarship Fund, which I think she founded it, or she certainly has led it up. They've raised millions and millions of dollars and gives scholarships to kids at four universities. I know it's just amazing and fantastic and wonderful. Yeah. So, Kathy, back to you. Who else did Dodie do?
William Christopher.
Okay, what show do you know? Where did Dodie do it?
Well, she did it in The Funny Money.
Of course she did it in The Funny Money. Okay, Phil, who else did Dodie do?
I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to throw it down real big. Uh-oh. And I'm going to take, if you don't mind, John, I'm going to go with three actresses in the same role, same show.
Are you going for bonus points here, Phil?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Well, Kathy, you've done so many shows with her that you can come up with a bunch. I didn't. But I'm going to go with Arsenic and Old Lace. And she did it with Anne B. Davis, Alice Grey's Anatomy. No, what's that show? Brady's Bunch.
Brady's Bunch.
Yeah, thank you. And then she did it with Billy Bird at one time. And then she did it with Marion Ross.
Oh, my God. Now, Billy Bird. Who's Billy Bird?
Oh, gosh. Billy Bird was a grand old comedian.
Yeah, she's a character
actress. What was I watching? Was it Barefoot in the Park?
Well, she was in 16 Candles with...
And she was in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those were kind of some like 80s films that... And she always played the old grandma. But she was an amazing sort of... almost vaudevillian styled female
Kathy,
comedian.
Kathy, I have a special opportunity for you that's just arisen.
Okay, I'm ready.
For you to earn bonus points to keep up with Phil. What other show did Dodie do with Billy Bird besides
Natalie Needs a Nighty?
Ding, 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 ding. Big bonus there. Big bonus.
That's a classic. And I think it even won the Nobel and a Tony.
Yeah, it might have won a Pulitzer, too.
Okay, back to you, Phil. Who did Dodie do?
Oh, my gosh. We're still
I know,
doing
it's
this.
Fast and furious.
I'm just going to throw out, I think she did something with Charles Shaughnessy, and it might have been Harvey.
Okay, well, she
Kathy,
did.
Can you help me for 500?
I think she
understudied a show with Charles Shaughnessy.
Oh, dang it.
Okay, so
well,
let's give her that.
Half a point. All right, back to you, Kathy.
Jim O'Hare.
I was in that show. You can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she did Well, ask me the question.
Where did Dodie do it?
You can't take it with you. Somehow those two sentences just sounded funny together.
And why did Dodie do it? Oh, okay.
Because you
now,
can't
Phil,
take it with you.
Yes. Phil, for you to get a point, I want you to say, who did Dodie do five times real fast?
Who did Dodie do? Who did Dodie do? Who did Dodie do? Who did Dodie do? Who did Dodie do?
Oh, excellent elocution. But okay, Phil, can you think of another co-star of the fabulous Miss Dodie Brown? Go to your MASH world.
I know. I'm going to say Larry Linville and Arsenic and Old Lace, Harvey, and Natalie Needs a Nighty. She was in that, him with all of them. No, I don't know.
You have run amok, but okay, we'll give you 1 point for that. We'll give you 1 point.
She was with Larry Linville, who played Frank Burns. Isn't it Frank Burns? No, I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah, that's beside the point. Dodie did him. That's what we need to know. All right, Kathy,
Who else did Dodie do? Jamie Farr.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Phil, back to you.
I'm going to grab Loretta Swit, and they did Baby June and Gypsy Rose Lee. I don't know.
I've got another one.
Okay, go.
Hal Linden in Over the Moon. I think it was an understudy role, but still she worked with Hal Linden, very famous Barney Miller.
Yes, yes. I was there for that. That is truth. Phil, can you keep up?
Yes.
Can you keep up with Dodie Brown? Who did Dodie do?
I'm going to say Paul Michael, Marion Ross's husband.
Marion Ross's husband, yes.
And he was an Arsenic and Lace with her. I don't know.
Okay. Now, before this digresses too terribly,
okay.
Kathy, I want you, this could be the winning point. I'm going to give you a little hint because this is my favorite person that Dodie ever did a show with. It was a long time ago, and this person was very famous for a toilet paper commercial.
Mr. Whipple.
Mr. Whipple.
Okay. Mr. Whipple.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin. Please don't squeeze the Dodie. Ding, 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 ding.
Mr. Whipple has a name. I need a name or she does not get 1 point.
Okay. The pressure's on. What is Mr. Whipple's real name, Kathy?
I have no idea.
Dick Wilson. Dick Wilson is Mr. Whipple's name. Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Now we know who Dodie did.
Dodie's done a lot.
Illustrious and wonderful career. Yeah. But what a wonderful lady. She is a sweetheart. Okay. Moving on to the next game. I have devised another little game for the two of you because I know this subject is one which interests the both of you a great deal. And this game is called Ooh, Love Me That Tiny Truck.
Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Love Me That Tiny Truck. And I'm going to give you a group of names, and I want you to tell me which one of these people you think drives the smallest truck. We don't want to know who drives the biggest truck because we're not particularly interested in someone who feels compelled to drive some big-ass truck. No,
right.
We want to know who drives the tiniest truck because whoever drives the tiniest truck must be a very, very, very confident person, as you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Kathy, you're going to go first again.
Okay.
And I know you love you some sport players. Mm. And I know you love you some Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. So your group of guys are guys from the World Champion 2015 Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me which one of these three heroes is driving that tiny truck.
Gotcha.
And please, you can share your reasoning with us. Maybe you know for a fact from personal experience.
I wish.
But which of these is the most confident not to need a big truck? Is it Alex Gordon? Is it Eric Hosmer? Or is it Mike Moustakas?
It's probably Gordon. I mean, I would want to say Hosmer because if you know what I'm talking about, I'd like to be in his tiny truck with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Gordon, it might even be like hard to get in and out of his tiny truck, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certain of it.
Well, and what about Moustakas? What do you think of
Moustakas? No, he's driving the world's biggest truck and he's still trying to find.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that, Kathy?
The gear shift, if you know what I'm saying.
Ding, ding, ding. Points for you.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm going to say you're right. I think Alex Gordon drives the tiniest truck. So you got 3 points for shocking the host. And another point for getting the answer right. Okay, Phil.
Someone's stealing this game, like just like they did the election. And I don't like this.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought up election because I know you're not much of a sports fan.
Thank you.
So we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to go into politics.
That's okay. Brilliant for me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, now you're going to get four people to choose from. And I want you to tell me and share your reasoning with us, please.
Yes.
Which one of these guys drives the tiniest truck? Is it Jimmy Carter? Is it Bill Clinton? Is it Josh Hawley? Or is it Bernie Sanders?
Matt Gaetz. let's see.
No, I think Matt Gaetz drives a huge truck.
Their smallest truck. I'm going to whittle it down to two with the smallest truck. It's either got to be Jimmy or Bernie because the other two are, they need to swing it out there in public a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I like that reasoning. Yeah.
Thank you. Could you use their two names in a sentence, please? I'm kidding. I'm going to have to go with Jimmy Carter. I just think through time has shown that he's, I don't know. He just seemed, I know.
Well, he's a confident man. He knows what he stands for.
Yes. And he's really, I know people kind of dog him on his presidency because they didn't think he was up
but
to it.
But he's probably had one of the most successful post-presidencies.
I know. And he didn't, wasn't he one of the few that didn't put us into war and stuff? I don't know.
He was just ahead of his time. He actually told us maybe to turn our lights off and see what that might be like to conserve energy. And nobody wanted to hear it.
And that peanut farm didn't do him any good. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, Billy. But I like Jimmy. I'm going to say Jimmy.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. Jimmy Carter, according to me, drives the tiniest truck. Okay. I'm going to tabulate the final score here. And, oh, my God. I think we have a tie.
I don't know.
I didn't want it to end in a tie.
Everyone's a winner these days.
That's true. You both will be getting
ribbon,
a trophy.
I get a blue ribbon. Our esteems are very, very tried right now.
Based on it. Yeah. I'm going to need the gold star, the blue ribbon, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you need that kind of affirmation, Kathy?
No, I really don't.
You have adoring audiences all over the nation.
No, I feel
vulnerable over here.
Okay, but you're a winner. You're a winner, baby. Both
Chicken
of you,
dinner.
You're a winner, baby. I want to thank you both for being on the inaugural episode of Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? And both of you succeeded in making me say that. Did you just say that? So congratulations, Kathy Barnett, Phil Fiorini. I wish you both the best of luck as we come out of this pandemic and get back to live performance. Yeah.
It's going to start again, definitely in the fall. Everybody just hold it together. We'll be there.
This is, of course, Kansas City Actors Radio Theater, and I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Miss Evelyn Tewksbury.
You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? This is my dance break. Then you'll never have a dream come true.
Oh, she hit the note. Goodbye, everybody. Stay healthy and stay tuned.